for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I've got a really different show for you today. Are you ready? Caitlin, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're ready. Good deal. Here's my question. Are we blasting in your ears? Okay, because there's a volume control. Okay. we are here today with Ron Shalott. That's one of our fan favorites that my personal attorney... my corporate attorney, I suppose we would
corporate
say.
Corporate attorney, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Hopefully friend.
Friend. There you go. And someone who frequents our show because real estate has a lot to do with the law. And what we thought we would talk about today is something about how the laws kind of change.
Sure. You're friends. We've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
And so today I brought a friend along. An assistant, Caitlin. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning.
Ah, good to hear your voice.
And Caitlin, you are not my age, are you?
No.
Okay. Caitlin is right on the cusp of being a millennial and a Gen Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
So officially a Gen Z. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's someone born in 2005 or after, right?
Yes.
Is a Gen Z, and before that is the millennials. There was news this week, and all over the news was the fact that millennials are buying houses.
Interesting.
Yeah, they haven't been buying houses. Very few millennials have bought homes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the millennials are kind of like turning 30 this year. So they are, on average, on their fifth job.
Wow.
I know. But guess what? They also still have student debt.
Yes.
But they've settled into their student debt to where they can pay for it. And now they realize that the rents are going up and you can buy a house. Particularly Oklahoma City was in the top three. In fact, I think it may have been number two in affordability index on this article that they were doing on housing. So you can buy a lot of house in Oklahoma City. And have a great life by buying as opposed to renting. So we're going to talk to you about what you might want be looking for in a house.
That's your future clients are here.
That is true. And I will tell you, that's a different client than what we are accustomed to working with.
Sure.
And we've got to have you here because the law changes. And that kind of makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Caitlin is a student. What school you go to?
I go to Harding Charter Prep.
And you are what year in school?
I am a ninth grader freshman.
Okay. So you've just started the high school. You're about 14 and a half?
Yes.
Okay. So she is your future, Becky.
Okay. So Harding Charter Prep. It's a charter school.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Northwest, but barely northwest. It's more almost an inner city type thing, right?
Yeah, it's like getting into like Edmond Village area, but it's not quite there.
Right.
So it's like
North Oklahoma City, but not far north Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay. And
that depends upon your definition of far north Oklahoma City, because it's out there by Britton.
Yeah.
Britton and Kelly.
Like in the middle of nowhere.
So yeah.
It was the old Centennial High School.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, farther north than what I had imagined.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was a little bit closer in.
Yeah.
So. Well, they moved. This is the first year that they're out there.
Okay.
Wasn't Harding
further in originally?
Yeah, Harding was used to be at the old Harding School on Chartel.
Yeah, it used to be merged with Fine Arts, and then they split off.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just this year, so.
Oh, okay.
So this is all kind of new, we are looking at law and real estate, and as you know, real estate is dynamic, and your people that you deal with are changing. The law is very dynamic. It's being changed. Sometimes the courts change it. Sometimes the legislator. Sometimes we even have a president that decrees a change. But Caitlin reminds me that her generation is growing up in a far different world, Becky, than you and I did. And she came to our summer program at my church where I'm a minister. And there was a summer program started because of right after the Murrah bombing to help kids. But she wasn't even alive when the Murrah bombing happened.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And the same thing with 9/11. You know, those are just things that she learns about in history. And when we think about, like, you got a friend from James Taylor and Carol King.
Uh-huh.
My daughter, who's almost 30, thinks You Got a Friend is a different song from Toy Story. Caitlin's got a whole different idea of You've Got a Friend. It's more like, why don't you text me?
Yeah.
Basically.
Is it still texting for your generation?
Yes.
Mostly texting. You know, it's getting to be that way for me, too. Just leaving a voicemail, it's quicker for me to glance at a text than to get into a voicemail system and stuff like that. So, and then you can accept those on your timeline, right?
Yeah, and there's many social medias like Snapchat, Instagram, that's a lot of people my age are using a lot more.
Right.
Just regular, like, iMessage or Android texting or stuff like that.
Right. So.
Yeah, and I don't get very many phone calls anymore. I get more emails from clients.
Right. Well, yours are more lengthy in nature.
So
right.
It's a whole different world.
How has the law changed around that?
Well, the law has changed around that because you've got security with regards to, you know, how people are sending you information, being on a secure server or secure email sometimes for important documents. You know, they're recommending that. But the law has changed dramatically just in the time you and I have been doing this together, you know, just a little over 10 years. And there's different points of view, different points of view in terms of communication and relationships and what's allowed, the new marijuana law, you know, and for Caitlin's generation, they are growing up that's the norm. So, you know.
I'm so sorry.
We look at it, you know, differently. It's like, this is change, you know, things shouldn't change. But the change happens during our lifetime, but her generation is. She is now used to that as the norm.
Right.
And so where is it going to go with her? So in terms of you know, looking at real property and how are people going to buy and what circumstances are they going to buy, what are they going to look for? And then also in my estate planning, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different era out there now.
One of the biggest changes I think we've had in most recent years is the electronic signature. Do you know, way more than half of our documents are signed electronically, whereas used to, I mean, not that many years ago, we were meeting every client in their home to get every document signed, every offer, every counter offer. And nowadays, we discuss this real well up front, usually, and are familiar with documents, but then we get electronic signatures on them.
You don't meet with people.
I still meet with my boomers because the baby boomers aren't quite as receptive. The younger ones are to the electronic signature. But even if you're okay with electronic signature, the older folks like to meet face-to-face because they can, you know, only 7% of communication is verbal.
Okay.
The tonality of your voice, the inflection, it's not just the words you say, it's how you say them. That's why texts are a little bit different.
Right.
Because that's the words you say, and it might not come across the way you mean.
I understand that. You see something and you go, what'd they mean by that? And,
right.
And you don't know what tone.
You start questioning emotional undertones of a text if it's not worded exactly how your brain will receive it. So in this day and age, we're going to be talking about what do you think you're going to look for in a home and what kind of features, what size home, what's the home in your brain look like that you think you're going to live in? And that's a hard thing for me as a freshman in high school to imagine the home I lived in, except that I had Mrs. Polk. Mrs. Polk was my home ec teacher, and she literally had us draw out and make a book of the home that we were going to live in 15 years from then. So we're going to return with more right after this break. So stay tuned. It's going to get interesting. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins. I am the broker of Movers Real Estate Company and the leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we have in studio today Ron Shalott, who is my attorney. And I'm going to give you Ron's number because a lot of you keep asking for Ron's number. Just call my office, by the way. We'll give you his number. We've got it memorized. It is my office number, 722-3232, 722-3232, or go to BeckyIvins.com. I've got a little tab on there that says Becky's Favorites, and Ron is amongst my favorite. You're the only attorney on there, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
well, I mean,
a lot of attorneys.
It would be a little hypocritical, though, yeah. if I mean, you're my attorney, so that's who's going to go
well,
on
Well, I hope
there.
I'm your favorite.
Yeah, you are my favorite. And we have in here Caitlin, the millennial slash Gen Zer. How's that?
Sounds great.
You go.
That works.
Okay. Now, I'm going to interview you and ask you what you're looking for in a home. You're in ninth grade, about 14 and a half years old.
Yep.
But what do you envision yourself, and at what point do you envision yourself buying a home?
Well, I envision myself, I'm not looking for two-story. I would look for a one-story, and just kind of a not too big of a home, but something small and cozy, but not small. Because I don't want to be looked down on, but I don't want to be, like, looked up, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
you gotta blend in with the crowd, right?
Yeah. And
okay.
But I would like to get done with college first, hopefully find, like, you know what I mean, get a family started, get a life started, and then with like significant other, etc.
So how old do you think that you're going to be when you buy your first home?
When I buy my first home, I would think probably mid-30s, maybe mid-30s, 40s maybe.
Wow.
Are we going to be around that long?
That's amazing.
Through my 20s, I'll be in college for sure and kind of to find myself officially being a young adult and finding who I really am, not just in the high school phase, but just my actual, like, adult self.
So, Ron, how old were you when you bought your first house?
Oh, wow. You're going to ask me. I'm not the one being interviewed.
Okay. I was 23.
I'm trying to do the math while I'm stalling here.
I mean, I was out of college a couple of years, but I was 23 years old when I bought my first house.
I think I was almost 27.
Okay.
So
that would be more normal for our generation.
Yeah.
But you're talking about
a few years beyond that.
I mean, I was on my third or fourth house by then.
Wow.
Yeah. So amazing.
I'm just thinking of like doctorates and stuff like that. And stuff like that, taking that will take a longer period of my time. And then after getting through college, I would have to find, I mean.
You're thinking of what now?
Like getting like doctorate degrees and stuff like that.
Okay, so you're talking about furthering your education before you go into like the normal family life stuff.
Yes. Like, yeah, I just want to make sure I get my like my financial stuff stable before I start having kids and start, because I want their life to actually be stable and calm and like more, you know what I mean?
Just, so you're going to raise your kids, you're going to start raising your kids in a rental.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
But yes, that's probably because I've always wanted a picture of like finding a family home together with my kids and my husband and like my, you know what I mean, my family and like deciding on something together that we will all like love and like and like grow up in, and they actually start.
Now I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in here for you. Are you ready, Caitlin?
Mm-hmm.
I wish parents would give their kids a vote, because if they would give that kid, the 8-year-old, a checkbook, every house with a pool and a stairs, every kid likes upstairs and a swimming pool, or maybe if it has even somebody else's gaming system in it, they're ready to buy that house.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I used to like upstairs too. My parents had a two-story, well, it's a three-story house. My bedroom was upstairs. I liked it until I grew. and they had this little wall that came down in the middle of the stairway. And I started bumping my head into this concrete wall, which I learned to duck, except every now and then at 6:30 in the morning when I get up to go to school, I would forget to duck, and that's a hard way.
So it was the header was low.
The header was low, yes, yes. And then it was the steps in that era are narrower.
Yes.
And so
they were honestly about 9 inches.
Yeah.
And if you look at the size of your foot, I mean, you're a tall guy.
Wow.
And that doesn't.
I've got size 12 feet.
So yeah, so that doesn't inches. Very well fit on that little 9-inch tread,
no.
does it?
And I've slipped and fallen enough times. So it's interesting because it's interesting to hear Caitlin because you're going to serve these kind of clients.
Right.
Upcoming. And this is the upcoming generation. And although she doesn't speak for everybody in her age group, certainly, but we do need to take that into account. I do, too, because I do when I do family law or estate planning. You know, I need to take into account these kind of aspects.
And a different thought process.
Different thought process, right.
Caitlin, are you going to save up a large down payment, or would you if someone offered you 100% loan, would you take it? What's your thought on how to get the money to get into the home?
I'm personally not too keen on loans because I don't like owing money later in my life when, like, you know what I mean, anything could happen. So I would want to have, like, a good start with my money, like a good down payment, just to be, like, responsible enough for that.
Money, money, money. NMLS number 196-895.
It is time for our money man to weigh in here, Mr. Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Dean, look what you've got ahead of you. People who want to save their down payment.
She is incredibly sharp and driven and focused, and that's refreshing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, how much money does someone need to? She's describing probably about a 1600 to 1800 square foot ranch house, and probably my guess is what part of town would you live in, Caitlin?
If I was to choose to stay in Oklahoma when I'm wanting to buy a house, I would probably want to move to like Edmond area again, or like I've always liked the Village and I've always liked the Edmond area. I like Nichols Hills area, but I'm not a keen of like the bigger houses in that area. So I'm just kind of more into like the smaller little areas.
Okay. So more of an average size house.
Yeah.
Right.
But in an area that if she stays in Oklahoma, it would be in an area she's familiar with.
Yes.
Kind of going back to your roots. So that's not so different. So you have a lot of similarities too. But if she wanted to buy a house, let's just say today. Well, how much down payment does she need?
Well, 3.5% down is your FHA down payment. With a Caitlin, I had a young buyer like Caitlin a month ago where she had money saved. And Becky, she did the first-time home buyer bond program and was able to buy a home for $300 and held on to her money. So 3.5% down is your FHA, but there are options out there. And, of course, if she's going to save money for a large down payment, she can do that as well, as long as it's 3.5%.
Yeah, and what I think what Caitlin's almost talking about is a conventional loan where you save up
20%,
because she would rather wait to buy a house until she gets the money.
Yeah, I just I don't feel comfortable like having that loan, because anything could happen in life, and like anything could like, and that could put a big kink on my plans of wanting to have like a stable, calm life of not having to worry about big debts like that.
Okay. There you go. But she's seeking ownership, which is kind of interesting to me.
It is.
And ownership is sometimes it can be done pretty prematurely to where people want in a home, but they're really not stable in their life yet. You know, like it maybe
with
you've not.
Thoughts. Yeah, thoughts, plans,
yes.
Financial.
And where you really need to live. Because if you've not settled into that job, you're going to stay in for a while. And to contact Dean, go to my website, BeckyIvins.com, and just Click on the Favorites tab. There's a direct link right into Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. We're going to see you on the other side of the break. Thank you, Dean.
Yes.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Not next week, right after the news. How's that? Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. If you want to contact me, my number's pretty easy. It is 722-3232. If you have a question of us that are here in the studio today, just call us at 840-1000. We will open the listener line, so if you want to call us, you can. I am here with Ron Shalott, my attorney, and we're going to talk about a little bit of law changing in just a bit. And we're here with a friend of Ron's, young friend, 14-and-a-half-year-old Caitlin. And Caitlin is telling us what the home buyer of the future is going to look like. It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. Robbins Roofing, word every day is trust. You can trust them for a small repair, an honest opinion of the integrity of your roof, and you can trust them to handle your entire insurance claim. Robbins Roofing is 728-3700. They do have more than one number, but 728-3700. Give them a call for your roofing needs. And our word of the day today, Caitlin, what is our word of the day?
The word of the day today is minority.
Minority. Okay, well, Ron, what's minority? You're our definer.
Boy. Oh, goodness. Well, the word minority, we actually get it from the French. Caitlin is studying French, by the way.
Yep.
Minorite is the French. It derives from the Latin word minor, which means lesser. And there's a couple definitions. Of course, the thought is in a population group, something that's less than half is considered a minority in the population group, however you decide it, whether it's blonde-headed people or Oklahoma State fans or whatever, in the minority. But there's also, in the legal aspects, minority refers to legal age. The legal age when someone is incapable of consenting or contracting that you need a parent or guardian, someone who is an adult, to stand for them. And with Caitlin here today, she is, I'm sorry, sweetie, you're still a minority in that you're minor, still under her parents and not been emancipated yet. But the legal age varies from place to place, and even from circumstances to circumstances. The legal age to contract, 18 years of age. Legal age to drink, 21. So a little different. You know, you can enter into the military, what, at 18?
Right.
Owning a gun, who knows what that's going to be. In different states, different things happen. Driving, you know, the driving age right now. Caitlin's looking forward to driving, right?
Yes. 2 years away.
Yes. If it still remains that, you get 16 or 15 and a half for your permit, but they might raise that. Or if you've got some issues, you may have to wait until you're 17 or 18 to get your driver's license. They may change that. Who knows? Smoking is changed or is changing. You know, used to be much younger, and now they're raising it. So minority is that you're in that lesser age or that age where you're not yet of legal age, and in the law, there are different legal ages, and it's different from state to state. It's the age to marry, for example. You can consent to marry by yourself at 18. With a judge in Oklahoma, you could do it at 16. Some states, you can go as low as 14, but a lot of those are changing.
Well, let's hope they do, because 14 is not quite old enough to get married, in my mind.
But then you look at Caitlin, and you see how intelligent and articulate this young lady is. She's got access to the internet on her phone. She's got her phone here. She's always got it. She has access to more information and knowledge at her age than you and I had at age 30. And when I look at her, and I go, wow. She's got so much information in her hand, but does she have the wisdom to use it?
There you go. That's what I was going to say. The wisdom to use that knowledge, it sometimes comes with just a few hard knocks and a little bit of maturity, right?
That's true, and I try to help her out and try to guide her in certain ways. But frankly, she and I don't agree on everything. We've had some serious disagreements on some issues, some social issues that are up now. But it's just knowing that this is the mindset of that generation of that age group because they've grown up this way. So what's it going to be like when Caitlin is in our era and she is, let's say, on a radio program talking to a 14-and-a-half-year-old of the future?
Right. Things change, right? They just change. Caitlin, we were talking about what type of house that you envision yourself in having. And it was at a very old age for home buying, by the way. That's likely to change just
yeah, it might
so
change.
You know.
She could win the lottery or you never know.
Yeah. Well, like the millennial generation, which was just right before you, they're beginning to buy homes now. But I will tell you that they're just now beginning to have children, too.
Yes.
Because they have delayed.
And even delayed getting married.
Well, are they getting married? I don't know.
Sometimes.
Millennials are just a different mindset totally, most of them. And they commitment is not in their vocabulary.
Well, the idea of marriage may not be. They want commitment, but they don't see a need for a piece of paper and all that.
A legal commitment.
And that's – we've had this discussion before about people who are residing together that aren't married. They buy a house together. They contract with things together. And I've warned – in fact, I've got – I just got done – or still not done yet – litigation case with a couple who were living together and intertwined, and then they broke apart, and it created a lawsuit. It's not a divorce because there wasn't a marriage. But it's a civil lawsuit, so it can be a mess.
Yeah, it's – but, Caitlin, you're going to buy – you envision yourself buying a kind of an modest size home.
Yes.
Okay. 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom?
Yeah, just something big.
Is it going to have a garage?
Yes, I would really hope so, yes.
Yeah, okay. In Oklahoma particularly, yeah. Right? Okay, because we saw Oklahoma this week. My saying is we have 4 seasons, often in 1 week, and this was one of those weeks,
yes,
right?
Very much so.
and you're going to live in a familiar place, but not too far out like an acreage or anything like that. You are going to live somewhere that's familiar to you around conveniences.
Yeah, because where I'm really wanting to move is I'm wanting to move back to my, like, when I'm wanting to, like, actually, like, start, settle my life, I would like to move back to my hometown, Texas, where I was, like, born and where I was.
Really?
Almost 4 years of my life.
So you would want to go back to your roots, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then do you aspire to live in that home forever, or would you move up, move down? What do you see yourself doing?
I like move throughout, like, where in the state itself?
No, just from, like, housing. Let's talk about the type house. Do you see that as a permanent home, that you would buy your first home to be more permanent? Or do you see yourself moving 4 different type of housing, specifically for a different type of housing?
Yeah. Like, kind of, like, just kind of sees where life takes me, really. I'm just kind of, it's a hard question to answer, actually.
So you would be reactive to life?
Yeah, basically, but I'm still wanting to be, like, in control, but I don't want to just, like, live my life by just a certain, like.
There doesn't need to be a path put out in front of you. You're going to make your own decisions, basically, is what I hear you saying. So that's pretty interesting. Ron, how do you see that?
Oh, she's a wonderful young girl, and she's going to do great, I know. So,
well, you have conservative ideas.
Well, she's got good ideas. And she's thought about a lot of things.
Not reckless ideas.
No.
Not get-rich-quick ideas.
But, you know, I wonder, how are you going to find these homes? Are you going to look online, or are you going to look around? Do you do more on the internet shopping, that kind of thing?
It kind of really depends. I'm very in the middle about things. Like I can look online for some things, but I also like to go to the stores for some things. I like to, like, you know what I mean, see it. I like to actually know it's there and it's in good shape than it is, like, and I, that's why when I visit down there, I do like to, you know what I mean? It's just nice to look around and stuff.
So you're not going to buy a house. You're going to check out where that house is located.
Yes.
I drive the neighborhood.
Yeah, I want to see, like, my options there and just kind of, like, because it would be really, like, that's one of my dreams is to move back to there. But, like, it's not, like, on the top of my list, if that makes any sense. Like,
okay. But you're talking location.
Yeah.
Let's talk about just the house itself, no matter where the house is situated.
Okay.
How are you going to find it?
Mostly, yeah, I guess since it is another state away, it would be online, other than if I was here. It'd be mostly online since I don't live there now.
But you're not going to buy online?
Probably not, to be honest. Like, I would... It really depends. Like, it kind of... It depends on the house itself. It really depends on the options of what's going on, really.
Okay. Well, my guess is that you would need to drive the streets and look at the neighborhood.
Yeah, basically.
That's probably a good idea because it could be a spectacular home. We get people all the time. We take and show them homes. They pick out homes they want to see online. And then we take them and show them those homes. And one of our most common objections to a home, to someone buying the home, is, oh, but the neighborhood looks kind of sketchy. I want a better neighborhood. So that you can't find online necessarily. A neighborhood, you need to drive the streets. You need to hear the noises. You need to smell the smells in the neighborhood. I mean, if you're right next to a diesel gas station and it's going to smell like diesel all the time, are you really going to want to live there? Doesn't matter how nice the house is. That's going to be a hard sell for somebody, right?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of homes that are really, really nice, but they're, like, next to highways, or they're next to busy roads, or, like, it's just, like, next to not really nice neighbors.
What are some adverse conditions that you would think, you just mentioned a few of them, that you would go, well, if it's next to that, I wouldn't buy it?
Like, for example, like, I wouldn't be so keen on moving to a house next to, like, a graveyard, or, like, maybe next to a high, like, for example, highway. Busy streets, there's houses next to, like, maybe, like, businesses or something, you know what I mean? Like heavy, heavy businesses that have people coming in all the time and stuff. That's not something I would really, like, I would keep it in my options, but I wouldn't be, oh, that's a for sure house that I really want to look at. That would look
How
at
about
that.
If it backs to an apartment complex?
I guess it would have to depend on the apartment complex, to be honest. Like, it would depend, like, what kind it is, how it busy it is, what's the, you know what I mean, the motive of it.
They're all busy, just so you know, because they stack people on top of each other, live in very close quarters, so they're all very busy.
But I think, you know, you see some apartment complexes, you're not well kept up, or they're just marginal, and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of noise, a lot of stuff, whereas other apartment complexes are really nice, really kept up, you know, good people, you know, and that kind of thing. So.
Well, there's some apartments here in the metro that have mostly millennials living in them. Well, that wouldn't be such a bad apartment complex, would it? They really don't have – most millennials, you know, the commitment thing's a thing for millennials. They don't like commitment. They're beginning to grow into that, actually, because of their age. But most of them don't have pets. So you're not going to hear a bunch of barking dogs. They don't have children. So you're not going to have a bunch of tricycles in the parking lot or anything like that. So, but then others are more affordable for larger families, and then that's going to be noisy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the same thing everybody else kind of thinks are adverse is what you think are adverse. Mm-hmm. It's not an age thing on that. Most people don't want to back up to an apartment. They don't want to side a four-lane street.
Yeah.
They don't want to live next door to a pawn shop, that kind of thing. They don't mind being backed up to a church.
Yeah.
Most people don't mind actually backing up to a cemetery. it's quiet and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that.
Oh, it's just my own personal preference.
Yeah, well, and that's a personal thing, too. I don't think that has anything to do with age, either.
Yeah,
I think that
one's the personal.
That's
one.
Just a personal thing. So, well, we've got more to talk about, and we're going to talk about it when we return, and we're going to have some smoking hot deals right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. Go to the website sometime or just Google my name and look at the reviews. That's people go, well, why would someone choose you? And I'm going, I don't know. Just look at the reviews. Reviews are pretty, don't look at the reviews that say 5-star and it just says awesome. Read the reviews that actually say things about the company that you're going to do business with. I'm here with Ron Shalott, my attorney at law, and you can find Ron on my website too, BeckyIvins.com. I wanted to tell you guys that I do have a downsizing workshop coming up at Epworth, and that's going to be in March. I will tell you the dates on that later. It's kind of a downsizing workshop where boomers are wanting to get rid of their houses, Caitlin. Boomers want to get rid of them, and they want to go to the apartment living or the senior living, which is apartments with basically luxury apartments without the noise of different ages. So, every generation has a different thing.
Yeah.
And we've learned a little bit about your generation today. Okay, Caitlin, what's the last word you want to leave us with?
What is transfer on death deed?
Oh, she's asking me a legal question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because her generation's familiar with that term.
Well, it will be. Transfer on death deed is where we transfer property outside of a probate. Someone passes away, but they have a filing with a county clerk saying that if I die, this is where the property goes. It's transfer on death deed. It's a great method for estate planning now. Because it avoids the probate. Now, if you got in a trust, it passes through the trust anyway. But with a transfer on death deed, it transfers automatically at the time of death. So,
do I have to do anything to get the property?
That's a great question. Well, when a person dies, it's not an automatic transfer. Whoever is named as the beneficiary on the transfer on death deed has 9 months to file with the county that they accept it. They don't have to accept it. But if they want to accept it, they have to file an affidavit that the owner's died, I accept it, and then they get the property. We'll talk about that more next time when I'm here.
And it's a term that you're going to become very familiar with, your generation will. Transfer on death deed. Thank you, Ron Shalott. And to find the number for Ron, just go to my website, BeckyIvins.com. Caitlin, thank you. It's
no
been
problem.
A pleasure.
Well,
we'll see you guys next week right here at the same time, 8 o'clock on News Radio 1000 KTOK.